Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm joined by my friends, Charles. Charles, are you there?
I'm here, Timmy.
And
here.
Brandy, are you here?
Absolutely.
All right. Today we're going to talk about the Texas Black Widow, Betty Lou Beets. Brandy, what are your thoughts on that?
Love her name.
Well, it is kind of catchy.
It really is. Rolls off the tongue.
It does. Today,
Bob Seger wrote a song about her, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh. Betty Lou was getting out tonight?
Yep.
Betty Lou got out a lot of nights, I believe.
Anyway, Betty Lou Beets murdered her husband. So that's why she was called the Black Widow, Brandy.
Thanks for the clarification.
She murdered guys that she slept with, Charles. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it depends on how good she was beforehand, really.
Of course it does.
I would hate to be murdered by someone who was a disappointing lover, Timmy.
No.
And maybe she was, and she could tell the disappointment, and she didn't want word to get around, so she just got rid of him.
That's a good point,
Charles. Clearly had not read my book.
It's not a good point. It's not a good point at all. It's a stupid, stupid point.
I understand you're working on a sequel to your book, How to Make Love to a Woman, called How to Make Love to a Man, where you give tips to our female listeners out there.
I'm trying, Timmy, because one thing I noticed... one thing I've noticed, you know, I'm a man of vast experiences, Timmy. And too often, the effort in lovemaking can be a one-way street, Timmy.
I've noticed that, Colonel.
It's a one-way street.
I'm going to drink some Clorox now. Thank you for all of this. Or inject
it. I'm trying to get women, because being a good wife, a good partner, a good spouse, involves much more than keeping a clean house
or making sandwiches,
taking care of the kids, making sandwiches. You got to take care of the needs of your man. And if you see, women don't like these strip clubs and, you know, men going to sex workers. The thing is, it's like a good education, Timmy. It starts at home.
I hate it. It starts at home. I see. Much.
And if the women are not going to be, it's basically like playing a football game, Timmy, when your offensive line's just not going to block for the quarterback. Come on, ladies, you need to step up and protect the quarterback's blind side.
That's some good advice, Colonel. It really is.
Barry Sanders would have never got all those yards if the offensive line would have blocked for him.
You know what?
So
I'm going to come up on your blind side tomorrow. You're not going to see me coming.
Blocking now and again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just starts with him. And we've had this debate. I mean, when the husband gets home from his job, he's been, especially right now, if he's coming home from his job, he's essential.
Yeah.
He's essential.
And he has stress, Colonel.
He has stress that needs to be relieved. Treat him like essential.
This is enough talk time.
This is enough Colonel time.
You make You make a good point, Colonel, because the man is not staying home watching soap operas all day.
Eating bonbons?
Yeah.
Right. No, he's essential. He's out. I mean, the economy's hurting a little bit, Timmy, but he's trying to push that needle forward on the economy, Timmy.
Well, I have to, I was able to read an advanced copy of your new book, Colonel, and I must say that chapter on how to service your man orally. I mean, that was enlightening. Women should really, you know, that should be required reading.
Right. It should be. I mean, nothing kills the mood like a cough, Timmy.
or teeth, really.
Or teeth, yeah.
Nothing kills the mood like listening to you two drone on about this bullshit here.
Oh, I should mention that we're an adult podcast and we use adult language.
Yeah.
Sometimes we use language that might not be suitable for every member of
the
your family.
Amish.
The Amish. So if adult language offends you, then we would suggest you find one of the other fine podcasts out there, like,
or just go fuck yourself, Timmy. We don't care what you do.
Our friends that already Nina and Already Gone, and Crime Lines with Charlie, and of course Southern Fried True Crime with our good friend Erica. Before we get started, I do want to give a shout out to three listeners I've had. I received email from Hattie, Malcolm, and Kimberly. Thank you guys for listening. And Kimberly gave us a great suggestion that we're probably going to use in the near future, maybe next week. So thank you all very, very much. Okay, let me introduce our panel. I am joined by the very lovely and talented, a woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, it's all right. You know, homeschooling sucks. It's terrible. It's terrible. Homeschooling is just awful. I don't understand people that do it. I don't understand how they can do it. So I want to give a huge shout out to all of the teachers that we have. You are undervalued and underappreciated. And I, you know what? We could pass a levy now. We could do all kinds of shit now. Teachers now have the upper hand. So so we got that going. And, you know, boredom has set in here at the Queen's Castle, which is why, you know, I put on makeup and stuff yesterday to go to my parents' house and eat, take out Olive Garden. So that was fun. And, you know, just kind of waiting for the murder hornets to come and take over.
You know, I haven't been on the podcast for about a month. I don't think I've been on since the coronavirus has started. So, I missed you guys. You guys, we want to thank, of course, Erica and Charlie and Nina for joining us the past few podcasts, and they're very popular. We always get our ratings always improve when they're on the show.
With those, especially Nina, especially let's thank her, because Nina makes the best mixtapes. Timmy, you know I edit these things, Timmy,
right?
And I take little clips of what Nina has said,
and we're back to Colonel time.
And then I cut them out.
Uh huh.
And then I put them with other clips. So, like, right now, I have one that says, Nina says, yes.
How's that YouTube channel
coming? And I just do that.
I mean, you have time to do
that. And I have it doing it faster and faster and faster. And then I insert it. I found a place where she said, Colonel. And it's, yes, Colonel. Yes, Colonel. Yes, Colonel.
Okay. So you have time to do that, but you don't have time to get our YouTube channel together. Sounds perfect.
So, Charles, you're saying, are you going to use her for when your book comes out in audio format?
I'm going to get Nina read it to the ladies.
I don't think
because they listen to her, Timmy. They'll listen to Nina.
She's not going to read that.
Nina, of course, is the producer of Already Gone. Don't Talk to Strangers, and her new podcast, which I keep thinking it's Sleeping with Nina, but that's not it.
Sleeping with Nina?
No, I think it's Dreaming with Nina. But I, you know, every time I try to, every time that I'm trying to think of that title, I think Sleeping with Nina is it. And I think, why did she call it that? And then, of course, I go and check it out, and that's not it at all. So,
well,
awesome.
And then, awesome. Of course, we had Erica, Southern Fried True Crime, mm-hmm. who is very popular in the South, and Charlie from Crime Line. So thank you, ladies, very much for being with us the last three shows so I could hide under my bed and hide from the corona.
Yes. We need to hide from murder hornets now.
I would
murder hornets.
What are those? Oh yeah, that's the new. That's a new bee, right? That's
plague
invading the plague. Yeah,
yeah. Murder hornets. They swarm.
This is like biblical times.
Yeah, I know. They swarm and their sting it has the same toxicity as some venomous snakes.
I'd rather take on zombies myself.
And they swarm. And they can take out an entire beehive in just like an hour. And they...
Well, as long as they're just taking out beehives.
And they rip the thorax out of the bees and feed them to their young. And they're going to...
It seems like that might be a little gang activity between bees.
Well,
that we
what
don't
I'm
know
thinking
about.
Is a mask is not going to protect us from murder hornets.
Where did they come from? Did they come from South America?
I don't know. Right now they're out in the Pacific Northwest, from what I hear.
Oh, okay. They must come from Canada, Colonel.
I don't know where they came from, but that's okay.
We need a wall, Timmy. We need to build a wall from Canada, I'm telling you.
I think you're right.
All these people coming from Canada escaped the coronavirus outbreaks up there.
Do you think that will stop the murder hornets?
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. With this coronavirus and people, you know, staying at home, the wildlife is getting a little cocky. I mean, got deers walking right down the middle of the street. You got mm-hmm. We need to put them back in their place, Colonel.
Well, you know, they talk about opening up the economy, but it is really getting, it starts with the raccoons, of course, getting them back in their place.
Mm-hmm.
Because raccoons can't get the coronavirus, Timmy. So they're not. You don't see raccoons walking around with masks.
No. Gloves or social distancing.
Or gloves. Now, the bats have gotten wise to this. I got a bat colony by my house, and I seen them flying with little bitty, you know, because they got those hands, those little paws. They got the little tiny gloves and masks on.
Fuck.
Makes it hard for them to get the mosquitoes.
Now, is Rudy and Bo wearing masks?
Rudy wears a headband,
mm-hmm.
so if that's, you know, it's kind of like a mask.
Oh my God.
No, Bo thinks it's a hoax, Timmy. Bo thinks it's a hoax perpetuated by the government to take away our freedoms, Timmy.
Yeah, well, Colonel, let me introduce you, because, you know, some of our listeners might not know who you are.
Well, we've had Colonel time.
I have to introduce him. It's required. It's required by the FCC, Brandy.
It's not, but go ahead.
Yeah, it is. There's a law that podcast.
How about this? I'll do it. The droning that you've just heard on and on and on about his dogs and his book is the Colonel. Colonel, how are you today?
A man who is known as an oasis. In the desert of the spirit.
I didn't like Brandy's introduction.
I didn't.
That was poor.
Well, of course, Colonel, these are troubled times. So people look...
They are troubled times.
They look toward you for guidance. And
nobody does
he's been
that.
Brandy, he's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
A man who is a moral beacon, Brandy. And...
Reevaluate your life.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles, best-selling author, Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, I'm well today, Timmy.
Holy shit.
I'm well today. Yesterday, I put on my mask, had to go to Home Depot. Lowe's. It's funny how they got things set up there because they got little steps. It's like the yellow brick road, but the blue brick, blue brick road, where you have to. It says wait here. They have all the customers in line 6 feet apart, you know. So they're trying to be, you know, is. But I
here's my problem with that, Colonel. What if you got someone who's 7 foot tall?
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
You know, I never thought about that geometry, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel. See, I tried.
Yeah, because when you look at a triangle, they're less than 6 feet.
Yeah.
It's geometry, devil. It's stuff girls don't understand. Sure. It's math related. I'll don't worry about
yes.
it.
Yes. Okay.
Well, did you take geometry in college, Brandy?
No, not in college.
Did you?
No, I took it in high school.
How did you do in economics, by the way?
Just fine. Thank you very much.
Got a C.
I think she got a C plus. But really deserved a C.
For fuck's sake.
Now, had you read the Colonel's second book, How to Make Love to a Man, you may have.
You would have got an A.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and this is going to be the last thing on this. I've never had a complaint. That's all I'm saying.
Go ahead, Colonel.
Like Betty Lou and killed them all.
Before she rudely interrupted you, Colonel. This is Colonel time.
Timmy, well, now here's one thing that the quarantine has done to us all, I think, is, yesterday, so I get my ceiling fan, Timmy, and I broke my personal best. It was a personal best for me because I hit my watch as I started. 22 minutes to install a ceiling fan, Timmy.
That's pretty. 22. That is pretty quick, Brandy.
And here's the other thing. Here's what the quarantine has done to me, Timmy. As I was getting up there and unhooking the other light and taking it down, and I thought probably the wise choice would be to go down to the circuit breaker and turn off the power to this. And then I thought, nah, fuck it.
You decided to skip that step of safety.
I did. I was like, you know, electricity's no more dangerous than the coronavirus, so I'll just.
Did you have your mask on when you were doing it?
I did not. I was free balling the whole time, devil.
Yeah, so I
didn't have electricity off.
How far did you fall from the shock? I mean, did it knock you across the room or?
No, all you really have to do, Timmy, is when you're doing that, is find your hot wire, put a wire cap on it, wire nut on it, and you're okay. That's what I tell people all the time. They're so afraid of electricity.
Oh,
I mean,
my
people,
God, who gives
electricity
a shit?
Is a hoax, Timmy. Mm-hmm. It's a hoax. Getting electrocuted by a 110 current, it's a hoax perpetuated by the government to try to take away your freedoms.
Your thoughts on that, Randy?
This is just
I got
bullshit.
A constitutional right to hook up a ceiling fan the way I see fit. I don't need somebody telling me you must do this, spending 3 pages on how this is an absolute. No, you know what? It's not completely necessary because I didn't do it and the ceiling fan's up. So it's not a necessary step, Timmy.
So you've once again proven that you don't need to follow rules to get things done.
Exactly.
It's an amazing story.
You do it
story.
The Colonel way. The Colonel method, Timmy. It's called the Colonel method.
It's
That's
amazing.
Also in my book.
I thought the Colonel method was that thing you did with, when you're like intimate with a lady. I thought that
Barf.
Was the Colonel.
Oh,
well,
my God. Can we please talk about
Betty
Lou?
See, it's not really in the book.
Please.
The books are much like Scientology, Timmy.
I'm begging you.
You know, where
Perfect.
You get
now
the different
get
levels. And it's going to have to be, you're going to have to get to, like, you know, Battlestar Galactica level.
DEFCON 10.
Before you really learn the Colonel method.
Okay. Can we talk
because
about Betty
Lou? Because it's like Bruce Lee. You can hurt people.
Please.
You know, without being properly trained.
Yeah, begging a little knowledge is is dangerous, Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
Begging you.
Yeah, so I figure about the eighth book, we'll get into the Colonel method.
Okay. Okay. Great. Okay. Can we talk about Betty Lou?
Yes, please. Let's do. Bleach blonde barmaid Betty Lou Beats. Try to say that 10 times real fast, Brandy.
I'm all right.
Bleach blonde barmaid.
I know. Brandy can't do it because she struggles with pronunciations. Yeah, anyway, Betty Lou Beats seemed to be very unlucky in her choice of husbands, Brandy. Mm-hmm. Oh, people, and we got a review said that the listeners don't like it when we say each other's name, so.
No, they don't.
Yeah. So, Brandy, out of five husbands, four disappeared without a trace, and the other, husband number three, left her after she planted a bullet in his back after a nasty fight. Some people are just really sensitive, aren't they?
They really are.
They are. And that was kind of cowardly to shoot him in the back.
Well, probably didn't. It wasn't.
Who amongst probably, us has not been there?
Well, he was sleeping at. He was sleeping at the time, so.
Yeah. That's what happens.
That's what happens when you sleep. Go to sleep early, Brandy.
Exactly. That's what happens.
You miss life if you sleep too much. When husband number five appeared to have drowned in a fishing accident, poor Betty was distraught. As were his colleagues at the local fire department, especially when his body could not be found in a relatively small lake where the accident was assumed to have occurred.
You know, now this woman must have held some appeal because she shot a third husband but got two more after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if that was quarantine times, Timmy.
You know, it was before the internet.
People were just like, fuck it, I don't care.
This I remember this when this happened. She was she kind of became the cause of the celeb or whatever when they were going to put her execute her. Oh, spoiler alert! And they claimed she was claiming that she had been abused. So, trigger alert for anyone who's experienced any abuse. But
she was the first. She was the Jodi Arias model.
Yeah.
Of defense.
But Betty Lou had at least had the wishing well. Wait a minute. I jumped ahead, didn't I?
No,
okay. So Betty Lou at least had the wishing well he had dug for her husband who disappeared in the yard of her trailer in rural Texas to remember him by. The insurance payout, which he claimed almost as soon as he disappeared, also helped her to come to terms with her loss. Unfortunately for Betty Lou, suspicions were raised within the local police and investigation centering on the bottom of the constructed well revealed her husband number five wrapped in a sleeping bag and with a bullet lodged in his brain. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Well, I mean, I got nothing right now.
When husband number four turned up in a matching bag underneath the patio, Betty was in a bit of hot water. But was Betty?
It doesn't look good from a legal perspective, Timmy. That just doesn't look good.
No,
but was Betty Lou?
You can explain one body, but two.
But Betty Lou. But was Betty Lou a cold-blooded killer, Brandy, or was she a victim of physical and sexual abuse going back to her childhood? So there is this element. This, I mean, it was a very, you know, this was a mainstream news story back in, I think it was when George W. Bush was running for a second term, I believe. Or maybe when he was running for the first term, because this occurred in Texas, and there was a lot of pressure on him to, pardon her. Betty Lou, let me tell you about her early life. Betty Lou Duvant. That sounds French, Colonel.
Yeah, so French.
Was born to Mark...
Donavant. Betty Lou Donavant.
Oh, my gosh.
She was born to, you know, those French people do a lot with their mouths, Colonel.
They do.
And you got the French kiss. Oh, mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah,
Betty Lou DeVant was born to Margaret Louise Smithwick. That's a name. And James Garland DuVant. She was born in Roxbury, North Carolina, on March.
Roxboro, North Carolina. It's next to Roxbury.
Mm-hmm. On March, ever been to Roxboro, Colonel?
I've been there.
He's a well-traveled man, Brandy.
I've actually been there, but that's okay.
Oh, well, how was it?
It's a nice little place. It's kind of run down.
Well, she was born there on March the 12th, 1937. So that means her mother was pregnant during the holidays, Brandy.
She was.
She was really pregnant, wasn't she? She was like 6 months pregnant. So yes, you know, Colonel, she was waddling around in her
big old
furry shoes.
What? You don't even know what you want to fucking say.
Her parents were poor tobacco farmers, Brandy, and both were alcoholics.
Well, as were a lot of people back in those days.
What does that mean?
I mean, there were a lot of alcoholics back in the 1930s.
Sounds pretty judgmental to me, Colonel.
Yeah, it does.
It's not judgmental. It's a fucking fact. Look it up.
I'm not going to look that up.
Look it up where? What kind of research? Have you done controlled studies? If there's anything I've learned from Dr. Fauci, if you don't have a controlled study, it's not a fact.
Ah, okay. I did not do a controlled study.
Well, then you're just spouting off theories.
Right. Nonsense. Okay. Nonsense.
Yes, well.
Yeah.
Yes. Unlike,
why don't you just tell people
unlike
garlic
what we just sat
for
through for the last half hour of dipshit number one going on about his fucking dumbass book. But go ahead.
Anyway, when Betty Lou was 3 years old, she came down with the measles, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents did not...
Do you know measles, Timmy?
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the most contagious viruses there are.
You know, I had German measles when I was little. Fucking Nazis.
Well,
I wonder what the difference is
between German measles and regular measles. I don't know.
Yeah, does it make you?
Was
you
clearly got French measles?
Yeah. Well, both of them will make you push a hand. One makes you put two hands in the air, and the other one makes you put one hand in the air.
Yes.
Well,
think about that for a minute.
Very nice.
It's kind of funny.
Very nice. So funny.
Anyway, Betty Lou's parents.
Are you still trying to work that one out, Timmy?
No, I'm pretty sure I got it.
I was going to say something very inappropriate and probably offend half of our listeners, so I won't do that.
Perfect, so don't. So they were tobacco farmers and alcoholics. So what happened when Betty Lou was three?
Well, her parents did not, when she got the measles, her parents, I don't know if it was the German measles or the French measles, I'm not sure. But anyway, her parents did not, I've never actually heard of the French measles, but, you know, I'm going to defer to the colonel because he is a very...
Oh, my God.
So, anyway.
If you get the Brazilian measles, it makes your pubes all fall out, Timmy.
What kind of measles?
The Brazilian.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder,
Brazilian measles.
I we should give a shout out to all the women, you know, to all the people who do those Brazilian wax, because when this thing is lifted, Colonel, when this stay-at-home order is lifted.
Oh, man, they're going to have weed whackers in there, Timmy. Can you imagine?
It's not going to be pretty, Brandy.
No, there's going to be power saws or power tools and all kinds of flamethrowers. I mean,
that's when you charge double.
See, they need the hero pay. They really do.
Yes.
Yeah,
thank you for your service.
Anyway, when Betty Lou came down with the measles, unlike my parents, her parents did not seek medical attention. And it resulted in Betty Lou losing partial hearing, and it affected her speech.
They were very busy.
I wonder how measles can make you lose your hearing. Infection, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I suppose.
Betty Lou would later claim that when she was 5 years old, she was sexually assaulted by her father. The rape went unreported. Now, I will say, as we'll discuss later on, and not to make, you know, it's a serious claim and not to make light of it, but she didn't, this didn't come to light, these allegations of abuse didn't come to light until she was on death row. So, Brandy, would you like to continue with the story?
Well, let's talk about Betty Lou's many, many marriages.
Okay.
All right. So Betty Lou had a younger brother named Jimmy and a younger sister named Jackie. So
did she marry him?
No.
This is a story about Jackie and Billy Lou. Betty Lou. Sing it, Colonel. Sing it, Colonel.
Two young kids didn't know what to do.
All right. So
sit around the house, get high, and watch the tube.
I wish that's what I was doing right now.
Jimmy, go to his room and pull out the loop. Sing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Pull out scissors and cut off the pubes.
What the fuck is happening?
I mean, they're going to have to be going through pubes. Well, you know those things you use the hedge trimmers, Timmy, to kind of...
Oh, man.
Could you imagine what it's going to look like? It's going to look like a regular barbershop.
There may be, you know, there's probably insects, rodents, all kind of shit hanging, living
what?
In there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
There are probably women coming in, going to be coming in there with, like, dreadlock kind of things hanging down to the knees.
Mm.
Why? Well, you know, that's the kind of society we're living in. I mean, is that we depend on people now to take care of our pubic needs.
Yeah, Brandy. Back in the 30s, people were self-sufficient. They cut their own. They shaved their own pubic hairs. But now it's like we've all gone soft.
We have. You just lean back in the chair with a sickle and take a good swing. And those pubes were taken care of. But now we got to go to a fancy shop.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I would challenge either one of you, either one, to go in and get a Brazilian. I would challenge either one of you to do that.
We are men's men, Brandy.
Mm. Uh-huh.
We don't go to some fancy salon.
No.
We don't have to go to a fancy salon. I don't care if you do it in Chuck's garage.
We just throw some.
Slap some wax on there and get to pulling.
No, that's
I don't
wimpy.
Know why you.
Well,
use...
we do, Brandy. We throw a little alcohol in there, set it afire,
exactly,
and it's done.
Exactly, 2 seconds, it's gone.
Yeah,
I would challenge either one
flames.
Of you to get an arm waxed.
That would look weird.
An arm.
Yeah,
huh? It's part of our arm hair is part of our masculinity, Brandy.
Uh huh. Okay.
Don't be silly.
Well, I mean, I can do it. I got the stuff. Let me know when you're ready to sack up.
Why do you have the stuff? That's the question.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
why do
you have the stuff if you're
wax?
Going to somebody to get them to do it?
Why do I have wax?
Yeah.
Because during the pandemic, I have to wax
doing
between my eyes.
In your garage?
Or my eyebrows grow together.
Oh, you got that Brooke Shields thing going on.
Boy, I do. It's a bad scene.
My endless love.
All right. So.
She was on that beach with that guy, wasn't she? Remember that movie where she was at the beach in the, on an island or something?
Yeah, they were lost on an island.
Yeah.
Amazing. So Betty Lou and her brother Jimmy and Jackie.
It took them way too long to fornicate, by the way. If I'm lost on an island,
I mean, that's
with
the first thing you really do, isn't it, Colonel, when you're on a when you're abandoned on an island somewhere?
Like, well, we better find some food. Well, how about we do it first?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And then,
so,
you know, work
what
up
was the
appetite.
Name? What was the name of that movie?
I think it was Endless Love.
No, I think that was a different one. I'm not familiar. I'm not an expert on
Burt
Shields.
Didn't it
movie?
Have something Lagoon in
Blue
it
Lagoon.
Or something? Devil?
Blue Lagoon.
Blue Lagoon.
There
yeah.
you go.
All right. So, with her mother dealing with her mental health issues and her alcoholism, and her father dealing with alcoholism.
I just want to clarify this, Brandy, so we don't get sued. We're talking about Betty Lou
what
here. Not,
the fuck?
Not Brooke Shields. We're talking about Betty Lou.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Betty Lou.
We're not saying Brooke Shields' parents are
God damn it.
Brooke Shields, she did not. Brooke Shields did not kill any of her husband that we're aware of.
Okay.
That we're aware of.
So Betty Lou became the primary caregiver to her siblings. And by the time Betty Lou was 9 years old, her siblings were calling her mama. That is
You know what? Brooke Shields is pretty tall.
She's like 6 foot tall, too.
Yeah.
She's 5'10".
Okay.
In 1949, when Betty Lou was 12 years old, her mother had a complete mental breakdown and was institutionalized.
She'd make a Betty good Lou, dominatrix at 5'10", wouldn't she, Colonel?
No.
Betty Lou
what's,
was
what's
removed
that?
From school to stay what's, home and care full-time for her brother and sister.
Colonel, what's so, the what, what's the minimum height for an effective dominatrix, would you say?
Oh, you got to be 5'9". And it's really got a lot to do with body mass index.
Uh-huh.
You
uh-huh.
know?
So here's the
because
thing, and I can't stress
got,
this
I,
enough. Wait a minute. I wait a minute.
Yeah.
Y'all are fucking around, and I've got a little boy over here who's being very quiet now. But mm-hmm. it won't last because soon he's going to get hungry or at some point along right around like 4 o'clock, his medicine's going to wear off. So, you know, we could move this forward and not be not even halfway down the second page of this fucking script. If you two would get off Brooke Shields' tip and move the fuck forward. She's not a dominatrix. She didn't kill any of her husbands. She has full eyebrows. That's all. That's all. That's it. We're going
to
talk
well,
a little
I think
bit
people are
about
glad
this.
To know that.
Yeah, it's
You're
amazing.
You're doing a lot of yapping for somebody who wants to get on with the script.
Yeah, really.
Yes.
Brandy, we get a lot of complaints that we get off topic, so please try to stay tuned.
Yeah.
Please
okay.
try to stay with script.
Yeah. So Betty Lou was removed from school at 12 years old to stay home and take care of her brother and sister. So
well,
in 19...
What do you think about that, Brandy?
I think that's sad, actually. I think that's really sad. In 1952, to escape abuse from her father, 15-year-old Betty Lou married Robert Franklin Branson, age 41.
Contestant number one. So he's 41, she's 15. They said it couldn't
Baby
last.
Jesus. This would be the first of six marriages for Betty Lou, and she would later claim that all of her marriages were abusive. You know, here's the thing. What is the common thread in all of her marriages? I feel like it's her.
Older men, abuse, alcohol?
I feel like she's the common thread.
Well, yeah, but well, I mean, go through the story. She can be a sympathetic character, but go through the story. We'll lay it out for the people to judge, Brandy.
And a year
if
later,
you please lay off. I wonder if Brooke Shields were
seems
ever
seems
like
you're victim shaming to me.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if Brooke Shields were ever was ever abused, Colonel.
To fuck.
No, she fucked somebody up.
Yeah,
she was married to that tennis player. You know, he didn't abuse her. He was only about 5'6".
Yeah.
She Andre Agassi.
Had to,
yes, she was
she
married to Andre yeah. Agassi.
She
yes,
probably
she
probably spanked him and all kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Pegged him.
A year later, in 1953, Betty Lou gave birth to the first of six children, a little girl she named Faye. Her relationship with her husband was rocky, and he left her for six months after Faye was born. Overwhelmed, Betty Lou attempted suicide by taking an overdose, but she survived. She soon reconciled with her husband and gave birth to a second daughter named Connie. In 1954, the couple moved to Mesquite, Texas, where over the next several years, Betty Lou gave birth to 4 more children, Shirley, Phyllis, Robert, and Bobby.
You know, I never get the name Phyllis as a baby, you know?
Yeah, I know. It seems really old for a baby.
Yeah,
Robert and Bobby
name.
The same thing? Did she just get run out of names?
And Bobby, yes.
Yeah, they are the same name. That's funny.
She was having babies quicker than she could think up names for them.
Yeah.
Phyllis.
You're 6.
Yeah.
Brooke Shields have any babies?
Yes. Yes, okay. She has kids. Despite relocating to Mesquite, Betty Lou and her husband Robert continued to fight. She would later claim that Robert was physically abusive.
Now, was Robert physically abusive or Bobby? Because I'm confused.
I don't know. That's what it says. Robert is her husband.
Yeah. Robert Sr.
So she would later claim that Robert Sr. was physically abusive.
It'd have been fucked up if it was Robert or Bobby the son.
Or Bobby. How would you know? Yeah. What if it's all 3? You don't know. So finally, in 1969, the couple divorced, and Betty Lou began to drink heavily. According to Betty Lou, she didn't like being single and began to drink to chase away the loneliness.
Chase away the blues.
That's right. Her ex-husband did little to support the children, and the money she received from welfare agencies was inadequate. By late July 1970, Betty Lou married again to Billy York Lane.
That's a nice name.
He was a transient, and he too proved to be abusive, and the two soon divorced.
Well, let this be a warning to our ladies, female listeners. Don't marry hobos, Colonel.
Don't marry hobos.
I mean,
even Lanny's better than a hobo.
I mean, how many episodes have we done where the hobo is the bad guy? And
how many have we done where the hobo's the good guy?
Yeah, none. It's always hobo is. Don't, ladies, don't marry hobos.
And this is advice for people. Let the devil be a cautionary tale about 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Not right now, because she's got a princely husband in Dave.
But he's bound to leave her. And sure.
And then she's going to be with Lanny, who's all in all not a bad guy and selling his car parts with one hand down there at the Napa place.
No, but he's at Pep Boys.
Working part-time.
Pep Boys.
Pep Boys,
Jesus
yeah, I'm sorry.
Christ. No,
he only works hard.
Sooner or later, Lanny's going to get tired of her, and she's going to be down picking from the hobo pool.
I see Lanny sitting at home in front of his easy chair in his underwear, white socks,
tidy whities.
Yeah, drinking beer, drinking Budweiser.
Schlitz, Schlitz, Timmy.
Schlitz, absolutely. Yeah. After the divorce, Betty Lou and Billy continued to fight. He broke her nose and threatened to kill her, so Betty Lou shot Billy Lane 2 in the back of the head.
Oh!
But she didn't kill him. She was tried for attempted murder, but the charges were dropped after Billy admitted that he had, in fact, threatened her life.
So, no harm, no foul there, because he deserved that.
Well, I love this, though. The drama of the trial must have rekindled their relationship, because they remarried right after the trial in 1972, and that marriage lasted 1 month.
Well, really, nothing will give you a good boner like nothing will give you a good boner like a woman shooting you in the back of the head.
Yeah, that's true.
Betty Lou married Ronnie C. Threlkold in 1978, and the fine choices of men continue, because Ronnie was an unemployed carny. I have a lot of questions because is carny actually an employment category? Because, I mean, it's not like being a doctor. Like, if you're a doctor, you're a doctor.
I mean, that was Ronnie's chosen profession.
Well, I mean, but I don't feel
like... Yeah, and maybe
like
it was wintertime.
There's a lot
maybe
of...
Maybe he was a furloughed carny.
Right.
Not just
I mean, I feel like there's a lot
carny.
Of transferable skills there that he could have used at...
Well, sure. I mean,
Kroger
it takes.
Or
I mean, you know,
like
given people you know, handing out rings for ring toss. I mean, that's something you can
they
use.
They really don't like you giving occupation. People baseballs and knocking down the milk jug.
I mean, it's customer service skills.
Yeah, I mean, you can transfer those. He doesn't need to be an unemployed carny.
Well, I don't know if you can.
It's not like being an unemployed.
I mean, I don't know if you can operate a tilde world. I'm not sure if that's transferable, Brandy.
No. Yeah, but it's not like being an unemployed middle management county worker. I mean, you know, that is a category.
Yeah, we have no skills.
We have no skills at all. So the two of them fought like cats and dogs, and Betty Lou threatened to kill Ronnie on at least 7 occasions.
7.
Once, yeah. One time, because Ronnie insisted on sleeping in a Plymouth rather than their marriage bed.
Well, Plymouth is
Ronnie's
probably more
sleep in a car.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about someone taking the covers in the Plymouth. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the marriage, surprisingly, the marriage did not seem to be working out any better than her past marriages. She allegedly attempted to run Ronnie over with her car.
Well, oh, you like this Plymouth so much, motherfucker?
Yeah, exactly.
How you like
How about
it now?
Sleeping under
How
it?
You like the Plymouth now, bitch?
The marriage ended in 1979.
I'm getting a feeling Betty Lou has anger issues, Colonel.
I think she's got quite a bit of issues.
Betty Lou needed to meditate. She needed to quit drinking and meditate
a
little bit.
Well, here we go. Here, this is my favorite part of the whole thing. The marriage ended in 1979. The same year, Betty Lou, now 42, did 30 days in the county jail for public lewdness. She was arrested.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. She was arrested at a topless bar where she worked. She was arrested for allowing men to put their tips in her nether naughty while she was on stage. Just the tip.
Just the
for
tip?
A minute. Yeah.
Just the tip.
Well,
just the tip.
I'm hoping it was, you know, paper money. I mean,
well, here's the thing I'm wondering.
No, the tip of their penis, Timmy.
That's, which one is it?
Oh.
No. They were putting dollar bills up her vaginas.
Oh, my God. That just.
So was it like a vending machine? You shove a 5 in there and you could get change back?
I don't know about that.
Dude, if she could give change, that's a bigger sideshow. Then she needs to find a carnival.
If you could just put a single in there, twist the nip real good, and have a Coke shoot out of ass, she'd be the perfect woman.
Well, there's no need to put a 5 up there because she's not going to know until she looks later and pulls it out.
That's true.
Let's put
I wonder how many.
I mean,
how many times she came home with like napkins where guys were just like. Yeah. IOUs written on them.
That would suck, wouldn't it?
Good Lord. At the end of 1979, Betty met and married another man, Doyle Wayne Barker.
Boy, there's a name for you.
Yes. Well, when she divorced...
I bet he drinks Schlitz.
Well, her divorce from Barker is uncertain because Betty claimed that he left her without any notice. However,
fucking
his bullet-riddled body... would later be found at the bottom of a wishing well on Betty Lou's property.
So Doyle ends up at the bottom of the well, too.
Yep. Not quite a year had passed since Doyle Barker's disappearance when Betty Lou married again. This time, in August 1982, she married a retired Dallas fireman named Jimmy Don Beats.
Well, she's going for the money there. She's marrying a retired fireman because, they're loaded.
As soon as they married, the couple fought day and night. Again, Betty Lou publicly threatened to kill Jimmy on numerous occasions. Jimmy Don survived the marriage for just under a year before Betty Lou shot and killed him. She buried his body in the wishing well on her property.
Man, I wouldn't want to get any water out of that well.
Well, and
no,
to,
I wouldn't.
But to help her in this endeavor, Betty Lou turned to her oldest children for help. Imagine that. She reported Jimmy Don missing and claimed he drowned in a nearby lake. The problem was that the lake was really small, so when the authorities dragged the lake in search of the body, they were unsuccessful. So your mother comes to you and says, hey, I killed another one. Help me out.
Well, I mean, what do you do?
What do you do?
You got to be loyal to your mother, right? Right, Colonel?
I'm a little bit concerned that children know how to drag a lake.
Well, I don't think they know how to drag a lake, but and I also think that they're older at this point. But, you know, it just reminds me of that. What's that show that John Quinones does? It's like isn't it called What Would You Do or whatever it was, where they plant those people and just to see how other people react? Do you have any clue what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Yeah, I'm not dragging a lake for. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I do.
Because I kind of feel like it's that kind of setup. You know what I mean?
I'm not dragging a lake for nobody.
Well, no, I'm not dragging a lake for shit. But you know, and I'm not even sure I would hide a body for my mother. I feel like that's one of those things you do on your own.
So you're
or
saying
with a friend.
You're saying if your mom comes to you and say, "Hey, Brandy, I had to shoot your dad. Things got out of hand, but I need for you to throw him in the well." You wouldn't do that for your own mother.
No, I got brothers. Now, I mean, I feel like that's a thing that you call your best friend over for.
Hmm.
You don't call a sibling. You don't call, you know, you call your best friend. They will help you dispose of a body. They're loyal. Family,
you really are screwed when you do that. You need to get married right away and have your next spouse do it, because then they can't testify against you.
That's true. That is true.
And if you're going to throw somebody in a lake, you got to puncture all the organs or gas builds up in them.
Oh, yeah.
Good to know.
You got to puncture the lungs, kidneys, spleen. If they got a gallbladder, pop that one too. Intestines, those are important, so the gas can all escape. Otherwise, people just come floating back up.
It's like a bad penny.
Yeah.
All right. Charles.
Well, now, Betty Lou, she was arrested on June 8, 1985, almost 2 years after Jimmy Don Beats was missing. 2 years she just sat there, Timmy, in limbo, wondering what was going to happen.
For 2 years, now, Brandy. 2 years, Brandy.
A confident source gave information to Henderson County.
So they knew exactly what the fuck they were talking about.
They were so confident in this shit.
They were confidential.
I mean, they were confident. Yeah.
And it was one of those goddamn kids, I betcha.
They snitched. She got snitched on.
Well, that's family.
And it indicated that Jimmy Beats was possibly murdered. Well, you know, she's had five husbands and
murdered.
All of them gone. So, yeah,
it's not a stretch.
Don't take Sherlock Holmes to figure out maybe somebody, there's some foul play there. Now, a search warrant was issued for Betty Lou's home, and the bodies of Jimmy Beats and Dora Parker were found on the property, buried at the bottom of the wishing well. So, you know, some people just toss pennies into a wishing well.
She tosses bodies.
But Betty Lou tossed bodies.
I wonder if her wish came true. Betty,
until they found them. Betty Lou, so far, maybe I'm going to read some more stuff, but it's that maxim that if everyone you meet is an asshole.
Right. That's what I'm saying. What's the common thread here?
Right. So they find these bodies. Then they find a pistol in her home that matched the type of pistol used to shoot two bullets into Jimmy Beats and then three into Barker. And, you know, that always kind of confuses me. It says it matches the type of pistol. What do you mean by type of pistol? The type that you pull a trigger and the bullet comes flying out the end?
I mean, this was 85, so I don't know what kind of, you know. I don't think they had the matching technology.
The ballistics capability.
Yeah. So now they turn the screws to her children. Branson and
Turning
Stegner.
Turning the screws.
They admitted to some involving in helping conceal the murders that their mother had committed. Stegner also testified in court that Beats told her of a plan to shoot and kill Barker, and that she helped dispose of Barker's body. See, your kids will turn on you like
she
rats jumping
plan.
Shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, Robbie Branson, not to be confused with Robert Branson.
Or Bobby.
Testified
or Bobby.
That on, yeah. Yeah, Robbie, Bobby,
Ricky
Jesus
and Mike.
Christ.
Doyle. Don't forget 6th, Doyle.
And Doyle. He left his parents' home on the night that Beats told him.
Boy, when your parents name you Doyle, they're going to ensure you don't get laid your whole entire life.
They are. It's like naming somebody, I don't know, Herman.
Yeah.
You know, Adolf. Name them an Adolf. Kind of turns the leg. When somebody sees an Adolf on Tinder, they just.
Yeah, they slip. You know, they swipe right. Yeah.
Swipe right. So, anyway.
I don't know what it is. When, left or right.
This kid says, yeah, Mama told me about the plan to kill Jimmy Don. And he returned a few hours later to help Mama get rid of the body into the wishing well. Now, Betty Lou's reaction to a children's testimony.
Love this.
Was to point the finger at them as the true killers.
Well.
But investigators were not
fucking kids.
This.
They're fucking kids. They're fucking kids.
Fucking kids.
They did it. They did all of it.
How would you like to been at that Thanksgiving night here?
Tension.
So anyway, yeah, or the gift exchange.
Brandy, by the way, Leanne was hoping in this episode you would say, but she loves him like you do. Can you do that?
She clearly does not love him. She clearly does not.
Huh.
Why does she like that?
She likes that when you say that.
Does she? But I love him.
Yeah, there you go.
See?
I love him.
Yeah.
Okay, Colonel. I'm sorry she interrupted you, Colonel.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. Now, the testimony given in court points to money as the reason Betty Lou Beats murdered both men. Now, according to her daughter, Beats told her that she needed to get rid of Barker because he owned the trailer in Gun City, Gun Barrel, Texas.
Gun now, Barrel City. I
got
that.
Killed over a trailer.
Well,
Texas.
Well, what?
And they lived in it.
I mean, really, and what is the, I mean, why is she upset that he owns a trailer?
Because if they got divorced, he was going to get the trailer and she was having no part of it.
She was going to be ass out.
Yeah, so he wanted the trailer.
Because it's hard to replace a good trailer. That might have been a double wide with a deck on it, little patio, barbecue grill
propane,
out front.
Gas out front.
Yeah.
Hot tub.
So, now, Jimmy Don, she did it for the insurance money and pension benefits that she might have had.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
Now, she was never tried for the murder of Barker, but she was found guilty of capital murder.
Murder.
Of Jimmy Don Beats and sentenced to death. While awaiting execution, her legal team filed appeals on her behalf, claiming Betty Lou had been a victim of child sexual abuse as well as domestic violence. The appeals were in vain. After 10 years of appeals, Betty Lou Beats was executed by lethal injection on February 24, 2000, at 6:18 p.m. in the Huntsville, Texas prison. At the time of her death, she had 5 children, 9 grandchildren, and 6 great-grandchildren.
We're all so proud of her.
And one more wishing well that nobody found. Where all the guys went.
So, Brandy.
You know what tends to, and I don't claim to be an expert on this, but you know what will cause some of this domestic violence? Shooting your husband in the head.
They don't like that.
That tends to cause arguments, at least.
See, it's like Bill Burr does this skit, you know, there's never a reason to hit a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody shooting you in the back of the head might warrant it, Timmy.
Well, I think
you shoot somebody in the head and they don't die, that's an ass kicking you got.
Using her snatch as a coin purse, I think, is something that that if I was a husband, I would be, that would be sketchy for me.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I wonder if she just goes in the back and takes a dollar out of her vagina and then puts it into the vending machine, you know?
Yeah, but here's the other thing. I mean, you got to spend that somewhere. I mean, people get all bent when you've got, like, dollars in your bra and you pull it out, or people keep dollars in their socks. I don't want to touch that shit.
What do you think? She just pulls it out of her vagina when she's in the
Mini-Mart? at any point, if that's in her vagina,
well, we're
I think
assuming
it's a
these were dollars, Timmy.
Do what?
We're assuming they were dollars and not nickels and dimes and quarters.
See, up in Canada, they would be loonies, Colonel.
Loonies. See, that would impress me. Put like $6 worth of dimes in there and have you keep dancing and don't drop any of them.
But at any point, if there has been a dollar bill in her vagina and she takes it out to, like, I don't know, buy a Snicker bar at the corner store, I'm going to be way leery of that dollar bill. Hmm. Like, well, that is just sketchy.
Especially
when it smells like low tide.
If she uses it for...
I think that you don't... There's no... No. No. No.
Well, Brandy.
I don't like it.
Brandy.
What? What?
What's your final thoughts on Betty Lou Beats?
I don't like her.
Are you concerned at all that she was abused and molested?
You know what? Here's the thing. I think that she... I think just because arguing does not constitute abuse necessarily. She may have been molested as a child, and for that, that's terrible. She had these alcoholic parents. She had to raise her brother and sister. All of that's awful. But that happens probably more often than any of us think, where you have children that are too young to be given any responsibility, that are given responsibility for adult things. But I don't think that that gives her an excuse to marry and execute all of these men. I don't, you know, an argument's an argument. She shot the one guy in the back of the head. He threatened to kill her. So she waited till he turned around and she shot him. Yeah. I mean, come on.
He doesn't see it that way.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Some of it, I believe she was probably abused, but I also believe that she was just fucked up. And she probably was. I think she had an anger problem. And I think that as soon as she started not getting her way, she eliminated the barrier.
Yeah, but I mean, how much is the anger problem due to her, you know, due to her fact that she was molested?
Sure. But again,
I think there's are mitigating circumstances, and probably she should spend the rest of her life in prison. I'm not sure about the execution, but...
The death penalty.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's just... Bad things happen to people all the time. And there are people, you know... And most people get past them.
Well, the Colonel and I are on a podcast, and we don't always have cooperative co-host, Colonel. So...
No, we don't.
We can understand anger issues, of course. What's your final?
We can.
What's your final thoughts on Betty Lou Beats?
My final thoughts is she was probably just insane in the sack, Timmy. She was crazy in bed.
Crazy women are good in bed, Brandy.
They are, and you know you're taking your chances that you might catch a bullet.
Oh yeah, they're going to catch you on fire when you're asleep. But
exactly.
Sometimes it's worth the risk there, Colonel.
Oh, even as the flames are licking up around you, Timmy, you're thinking, yeah, that was worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was worth
I see.
It. I'd do
Perfect.
It again. I'd do it again.
We would like to thank all of our listeners who support us on Patreon. I'm not sure if the Colonel has the Patreon list this week, but we will see.
I do not, but
we'll get it next week.
If you fall under our Patreon sponsors, we thank you greatly.
Yes. And we want everyone to stay safe and healthy during this epidemic.
Wash your hands.
We don't have very many listeners anyway, so we can't afford any of you to get ill. So
wash your ass, wear a mask.
If you're not thinking of yourself and your family, think of us. And stay healthy. Is that a good advice, Brandy?
It is very good advice, Timmy.
That's good advice, Timmy.
All right. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all again next week on History Tweets. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.